today. I want to turn to the first book of the Bible in Genesis and the chapter 7. I want to read a few verses together in John or Genesis and the chapter 7. Verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come now and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female, of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. And then it says in the verse 15, And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Amen. We pray indeed the Lord will bless that short reading of his word. Let's unite our hearts together in a word of prayer. Loving Father in heaven, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the message of the gospel that's found in his pages. Directs us to the person and the work of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that thou would bless us abundantly around thy word. We need help to, Lord, to proclaim it. And of those who would listen to it, we pray that thou would bless the word to all of our hearts, even, Lord, to the salvation of many precious souls. So close us in with thyself. We look to thee for help. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The text is found in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 16. At the very end of verse 16, it says these words, And the Lord shut him in. And the Lord shut him in. We think of the words shut in. It is one, of course, that we are very, very familiar with. We think of our churches. We think of people in our congregations who are known as shut-ins because of old age and infirmities. They're unable to go out and come to the house of God as they used to. We think of people shut in homes. We think of people shut in prison. We think of the United Kingdom. They tell us roughly there's about 93,000 people shut in prisons at this particular time. In my study of this about shut-ins, I came across a prisoner in America, and he holds a world record for the longest time being shut in a prison, and he was shut in for 68 years. We think about our country, even at this present time. I know those restrictions have been lifted because of the coronavirus, but overall, over a number of weeks, we've been shut in. Some children have been shut in from playing with their friends. We've been shut in our homes. We've been shut out of school. We've been shut out from different places. And we've felt that we have been shut in different ways. Well, this term, shut in, is nothing new. We come to the Bible, we do find there were times that God's people were shut in. We think there of Exodus chapter 12, and verse 22, it tells us in Exodus 12 about the Passover, that it's going to be the death of the firstborn in the land of Egypt. But it tells us in verse 22 that the people shall shut themselves in, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. And so the people were to go into their home, they were to shut themselves in until the morning. And then we find in Isaiah 26 and verse 20, the tremendous words of the prophet. He says, Come, my people, enter thy into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. And God's people are told here to hide themselves. They were to close themselves in, to go into their homes and shut the doors until the indignation be passed. So we finally come to the Bible, shut in. It is the words, or our words, of course, that we understand. Well, here we have it in our text, talking about Noah. A great storm is going to come. The great flood has been sent of God here to take away evil from the world. And God tells Noah and his family to come into the ark and to bring the animals into the ark. And we find here in the reading of this passage, they all go into the ark as God commanded. And before the storm is unleashed, we find the words of our text. The Lord shut him in. God shut the door here. We find God coming here to the ark in the time before the flood. He shuts the door. And the Lord, he shut him in. He shut Noah in. He shut his wife in. He shut his family in. He shut the animals in. And the Lord shut him in. Now, I want to say just a couple of things about this shut-in. I want to think, first of all, about the salvation of man. And the Lord shut him in. And we find here, very simply, that this man, Noah, was going to be saved from the flood. Because God shut him in. We think here in his salvation from the flood, the divinity in salvation. And very plainly we see here, his salvation was all of God. Notice the words of our text. And the Lord shut him in. The right person here tells us. You see, it was God who came and slammed the door. It wasn't Noah's sons that closed the door. Listen, it was not Noah who closed this door. No, we find here it was God who closed the door. Over in Exodus, or in the chapter 6, verse 15 of this book of Genesis, it tells us about the size of the ark, about 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and a height of 45 feet. It tells us it has three stories. And so we find it was a large ark, like a great ship. I want you to see this. Noah was unable to close the door. His sons were unable to close the door. It was God who planned the building of this ark. And therefore, it was God who sealed this ark by the closing of the door. And so the right person shut the door. It was the Lord shut him in. I think also in the divinity of his salvation, the right place, he was shut in. Listen, it was the ark. And I want you to see this. The ark was the only place of safety. The flood was going to come over all the world. There was no other place of safety for Noah and his family. It was not that Noah and his family could get up onto the highest of mountains. Not a bit of it, because it tells us here in chapter 7, verse 19 to 20, but even all the hills were covered in water. There was no other place of safety for Noah and his family. No other place but the ark. And so God shut him in the right place. The only place was this ark. Only place. And he shut him in at the right period of two, because it tells us in verse 10, about 7 days before the flood came, before the windows of heaven were open, God shut him in. Listen, at the right time. And you see here the divinity of God here in this salvation. It says the Lord shut him in. Teaches a great, great truth, my friends. The great gospel lesson is salvation is of the Lord. Jonah said those words. Way down in the whale's belly in chapter 2, verse 9 of his book, he says salvation is of the Lord. And the lesson here is very clear for all of us. No man or woman can save themselves. No, salvation is all of God. And if you and I are ever going to be saved from our sins and have everlasting life and saved from the wrath of God to come, the Lord must save us. You can't save yourself. Your mother can't save you. If you're a young person, listen to the word of God today. Your father can't save you. Salvation is of the Lord. And if you and I are ever going to be saved, then God must save us. And that's what we find in the Bible. We find in 2 Timothy 1, verse 9, when Apostle Paul was writing to young Timothy, he says of the Lord, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And notice he says, who has saved? Who has saved us? Christ has saved us. God has saved us. And if a sinner is ever going to be saved and have everlasting life, God must save him. And I want you to see this. If you listen today in your home, this message, you see yourself lost and in your sin and heading down towards destruction. If you're ever going to be saved, I want you to see this. It's only God can save you. It's only Christ can save you. You cannot save yourself. You're held by sin. You're held by the devil. You're unable to save yourself. And no, dear friends, it's the right person can save you. It's the Lord. Only Christ can save. The Bible tells us very plainly that God sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. That's why he came down from heaven. This is why he came to the scene of time. It is why he went to the cross and he shed his blood. He made himself a propitiation for our sins, the Bible says. The Lord Jesus Christ made that great sacrifice for our sin. He put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. No one else can save us. Christ is the Savior. And that's what Peter said. Neither is there salvation in any other, but none other name under heaven given among men. Listen, whereby we must be saved. And if God is ever going to save a sinner, he saves him in one place, one person. I want to see, I want you to see this. Only one place, only one person can save you. It's Jesus Christ. You must be found in him. Remember Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says there, therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Notice those words. Those which are in Christ Jesus. It's not enough to say, well, I know about him. I've heard about him. I've read about him. No, no, my friends. If you're ever going to be saved, you must be in him. You must come to Jesus Christ. The divinity of salvation, it is found in the Word of God. Salvation is of the Lord. He sent his Son into this world. Christ came into the world to save us and to die upon the cross. He is the Savior of the world. Think about the divinity of this salvation. My friends, if you're going to be saved, you need Christ to save you. At the right period of time as well. I think of people say, oh, I'll get saved later on in my own time. You will never come to Christ in your own time. If you're not saved in God's time, you'll never be saved at all. Remember it says, 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2, behold now is accepted time. Behold now is the day of salvation. And we find here the Lord shut him in. Well, it takes a great Savior to save you and I. There is one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who bled and died upon the cross. He can save us. God saves sinners through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no other way for salvation. You think about the reason here for his salvation. Why did God save Noah? Was it because he was good? Was it because of his own righteousness? No, remember, Noah was just like every one of us. He was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. He had been rebellious. He had one time in his life before his salvation. He had sinned against the Lord. Well, why was it that God saved Noah? Well, the answer is given in his word. In Genesis 6 and verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I want you to think of those words. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the reason he was saved. This was the reason his wife was saved, his sons were saved, or their wives were saved. Noah was saved, listen, by grace. Grace means God's unmerited favor. He didn't deserve it. No. Noah did not deserve to be saved. But we find the amazing grace of God saving him. And God shut him in. Oh, it's the same with myself. It's the same with everyone who's saved today. We're saved not by our works or by ourselves. We're saved by the grace of God. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and if not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, it's the amazing grace of God that saved us. Oh, what grace. What mercy. The Lord extends towards sinners like you and I. We don't deserve it. That's why we read in the Bible in 2 Timothy 1 verse 9, it says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but notice these words, but according to his own purpose and grace. You see, it's the grace of God that saves us. I think of John Newton, that man was a slave trader. He was wicked, he was vile, he was sinful. But you know, he found salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wrote a tremendous hymn, probably my favorite hymn. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Noah did not deserve salvation. Listen, I did not deserve salvation. Child of God, listen to the message. You did not deserve salvation. But it was the grace of God to give it to you. If you're unsaved here, unsaved today, listen to this message. It's the grace of God that will save you. Nothing else. You don't deserve it. You deserve hell, punishment, wrath, to be cast out of God's presence. But the amazing grace of God can save you. He can save you. The hymn says, saved by grace alone. This is all my plea. Jesus died for sinful men. And Jesus died for me. And that's the reason here for salvation. Think about the security of this salvation. Notice the words, God and the Lord shut him in. I want you to think of this. When God got a hold of that door, and he shut it, he slammed it, and he sealed it, Noah was safe. Noah was safe. Noah couldn't fall out of the ark. Noah couldn't be pulled out of the ark at all. No, the storm came raging against the ark. It went up and down like a cork upon his waves. But notice here, the Lord shut him in. Noah was safe. He was safe in this ark. And I want to give you some reasons why he was safe. He had the provision of God. Everything he needed was in the ark. In chapter 6 of Genesis, verse 22, the Lord says, and take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and I shall gather to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them. So he was told to bring food into the ark, which of course he obeyed, and he did, of course. He was in the ark for about 1 year and 10 days. He needed food. He needed food for himself. He needed food for his family. He needed food for the animals. God shut him in. The provision of God was in the ark. A tremendous truth here for all of us. Everything you need is in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you come as a sinner, when you repent from your sin and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, God shuts you into Christ. Everything you need is found in him. Mercy is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Righteousness is found in the Lord Jesus. Justification is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgiveness of sins, everything you need. Is found in Jesus Christ. Think of 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Everything we need is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We had the provision of God. He had the presence of God with him. Remember it says in Genesis 7, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. So God has really said to Noah, come now and all thy house into the ark. Why is it? God was in the ark. Of course, God is everywhere. And when the door was slammed tight, dear friends, God wasn't shut out. No, he was shut in with. He was with him. He had the presence of God with him. And that's the same when we get saved. The Lord comes to live within our hearts. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit of God lives within us. He shuts us in. The Bible says we're sealed with the Holy Spirit onto redemption. And so we had the presence of God. He had the preservations of God. You know, the Lord was not going to half save Noah and his family. No, the Lord shut him in. Why is it? God was going to save him and follow him right through the flood. Remember I said about 1 year and 10 days he was in the ark. But in the time of the great flood, it came raging against the ark. He was tossed up and down. I'm sure he could hear the storm outside. But here's a good thing. You can go to the Bible at the end of Genesis 8, verse 15 to 18. Noah's through the storm. The storm is over. The door of the ark is opened. God calls him and his family out. God brought him right through, you see. See, he had the preservation of God. When God shut that door, he kept him safe. Oh, dear friends, can I say to you, the gospel saves us. When the Lord Jesus saves a sinner, he saves him. Not for a day, not for just 1 week or 1 month, but he saves us forever. It's an everlasting salvation. He doesn't save us and then 6 months we lose our salvation. There are some people preaching, and that is not the gospel. A person who is truly saved can never be lost. Can never be punished for their sin. Christ has died for their sin. God saves them and he shuts them in. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Listen, sinner, come to Jesus Christ and trust him. Trust him with all your heart. I hear people say, if I could save, I couldn't keep it. Listen, the Lord will save you. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1 and verse 5, kept by the power of God through faith on the salvation. You see, the Lord saves us. It was God here who saved Noah. And dear sinner, God will save you. And listen, when he saves you, he saves you. He doesn't half save us. Everyone he saves, everyone he washes in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, he saves them. He shuts them in. We're shut into the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to go out. Oh, dear friends, the security of God and salvation. Here we find us shutting up the door. What a tremendous truth is found here. The salvation of man, the Lord shut him in. And if you come to Jesus Christ with all your heart, he will save you today. Repent and trust him. He'll shut you in. He'll bring you to Christ. He'll wash you in the blood of the Lord Jesus. He'll give you everlasting life, and you'll never perish. Or no man is able to pluck you even out of his hand. I'm glad today I'm shut in. I'm one of God's shut-ins. He brought me to Jesus Christ. He called me out of darkness. I came to him the way I was, and he shut me in that day. Friends, he'll do it for you today. You listen today to the gospel and you're not saved and your heart is not right with God. You need to trust Christ to be your Savior. He'll shut you in. He'll accept you. He'll give you everlasting life. So we find here in the closing of this door the salvation of man. But then I want to say a last thing quick about the shutting in meant the damnation of many. You see, on one side of a door, there's salvation. There's Noah and his family. The salvation, they're saved. But see, we have to look at the other side of the door. When we look here in God's Word, what do we find? We find destruction. We find death. We find damnation of the multitude. It tells us here in this particular passage that the flood came in verse 21 of Genesis 7, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth. And it says at the end of that, and every man... Verse 22, and in whose nostrils was the breath of life, and all that was in the dry land, listen, died. Everybody, everything outside the ark, it tells us that they died. They were destroyed. Oh, I think here, friends, when God shut the door, the salvation of man, one side of it, happy in Jesus, but on the other side, the damnation of man. And think of these people. These people who were lost in the times of Noah. Think of friends, they have been preached to. Noah was a preacher in 2 Peter 2 verse 5. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person. A preacher of righteousness. Noah would have stood, he would have preached Christ to this people. He was a preacher of righteousness. They heard him preach. But they didn't listen. That's just old Noah. He's a funny creature. Oh no, they never listened. The door was shut for them. And they were lost. And just because you have heard the gospel, I'm speaking here to unsaved, just because you have heard the gospel message doesn't mean it guarantees you'll be saved. No, no. Multitudes will be lost. Luke 13, verse 25 tells about when the master of the house has risen up and shut the door. There's going to be people coming, banging on the door, looking in for it. They weren't saved. You've heard the message of the cross doesn't guarantee that you'll be safe. But you could be lost. We don't want you to be lost. Think about the performance of this people. Some people suggest that Noah would have needed help from this people. Because remember, he was building a large ship in those days. They would have played a part. He would have given them a job and carrying the timber and so on. But that's amazing. If they helped to build the ark that would save people. And their friends who were lost. And you know, there are people who's not saved, maybe in this congregation, other congregations, they're very helpful about the church and doing work outside and so on and helping different matters, but not saved. And that'd be a terrible thing to play a part in the congregation, coming to the meetings and giving on the plate and offerings and so on, but lost. Well, think about these people also when the door was shut. Think about their pleasure, because why was it, friends, that they were lost? They loved sin. They loved wickedness. They didn't love Christ. No, no, they wanted the world. They wanted the things of the world, you see. And so therefore, when the flood came and the door was shut here, we find the shutting of the door. Oh, dear friends, it was sin that destroyed them. The Lord Jesus says that in Matthew 24, verse 38, about they were drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. So it was sin they wanted. And that's why people would be lost, you know, because it is their sin, the love for sin. I think about their perishing here, and the door was shut. And all that was in the dry land, as I said, died. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 25, verse 39, I knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Listen, took them all away. Listen, this is one side of the door. Lost. Lost in their sin. Lost for all eternity, my dear friends. When God shut him in, there's the salvation of man on one side of the door. There's the damnation of many on the other side. I want to ask you a question in closing today. What side of the door are you on? We sing with the boys and girls, one door and only one, and yet the sides are two. I'm on the inside. On which side are you? I asked you in closing, what side are you on, my friends, today? Have you the Lord Jesus as your Savior? You say, no, I'm lost. I know where I am. I know I'm in sin. I know what will happen to me if I die. I lose my soul. I'll find myself in hell for all eternity. Oh, friends, the door is open. The Lord Jesus says, I am a door by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. Come to Jesus Christ today. Flee from the wrath of God to come. Forsake your sin. Put your trust, listen, put your trust 100% in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent from your sin and trust him. He will save you. He will give you everlasting life, friends. The door's open. He's calling. Remember, he called Noah and his family, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Listen, do you hear his voice today? He says, come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Listen, come and trust him. He will save you. You take away your sin, he shut you in. Be one of God's shut-ins. That's where we began our sermon, about shut-ins. Be one of God's shut-ins. He shut you in. Oh, I believe that Jesus saves to the very uttermost, and he can give you everlasting life. I pray God to bless his word to all of our hearts. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I pray you bless the word to hearts. I pray for those who hear it, and Lord, are not saved, that they might be saved. And put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for your hand upon us today and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.